Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you, Chris, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. incomes fell the most in two decades in January as higher tax rates kicked in. Personal incomes tumbled 3.6%. But personal consumption expenditures, which measure purchases ranging from cars and clothes to health care and travel, rose 0.2%. This morning, USDA learned from private exporters of the export sale of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2013-14 marketing year. The 13-14 marketing year for soybeans begins on September 1st. Also this Friday morning, news out of China that it will sell 100,000 metric tons of rapeseed oil from state reserves in an auction on March 8th. The release might be part of the government's plan to make room for a fresh round of stockpiling in June when new crop rapeseed is expected to hit the market, as some oil stockpiled in 2010 is likely close to its expiration date. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,971, down 83 points. The NASDAQ, 3134, is down almost 26. The S&P 500, at 1504, is down 9.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A weather disturbance moving from Alberta and Montana will pass through the western Corn Belt over the latter part of the weekend and early next week, generating some welcome moisture for some of the drier areas in western Iowa, as well as eastern South Dakota. Northeastern Nebraska perhaps will also be involved. Now, some of these areas have significant snow on the ground, so the precipitation from this event is not likely to have a huge impact on the region. Remember that there's frost underneath the snow, so whatever snow we manage to accumulate there will likely end up melting eventually and running off into rivers and streams without soaking very deeply into the soil. So even though we are generating some storminess in some of the drier areas in the northwestern Corn Belt, I'm afraid that a lot of the precipitation may just not reach very deeply into the soil. 2 to 5, local 7 to 8 inch accumulations will occur in the band coming out of Montana and passing through southwestern North Dakota and northern South Dakota into eastern parts of South Dakota and portions of western and central Iowa, maybe catching the northeast corner of Nebraska as well. And much of this will occur in the second half of the weekend and into early next week. The system will continue to the southeast as we move a little bit deeper into the week next week. Should bring some beneficial moisture to portions of the northern delta, the lower Ohio River Valley, the Tennessee River Basin, and eventually into the southeastern states. The bad news is that southeastern part of the country is extremely wet right now and needs to have every day possible for drying. And some drying will occur between now and Monday, but I'm afraid the system coming in at midweek next week will likely be a setback in that drying tendency. And we'll likely see temperatures rather cool before the precipitation event occurs, so even this weekend, the drying in the southeast will be inhibited somewhat by the fact that temperatures are low. Cool temperatures will reduce evaporation rates. There will be a short-term bout of warmer weather, and a little better opportunity for some drying to occur in the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, and southeastern states after this disturbance passes from midweek. So probably sometime around Thursday of next week and continuing into the second weekend of the two-week outlook will be the best time for temperatures to get in the 60s and 70s in the southeastern United States and at the same time generate good drying conditions. That'll be important because the next storm system that bears down on the country will be a fairly large event, possibly. This will be a storm that forms in the Central Plains about a week from now and will likely work its way east and northeast across a big part of the Midwest, the Delta, and even a portion of the southeastern states, bringing some significant precipitation. Storm system is obviously a full week away, so we need to be careful not to get too caught up in its prospects, but it has been advertised rather consistently in the model data the past few days, and the odds are fairly good that we'll see widespread rain and snow impacting a large part of the Midwest and a portion of hard red winter wheat country, as well as the Delta, when we get into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. Temperatures across the Midwest over the next few days will be rather consistent, not expecting a lot of change to occur from one day to the next. We'll look for daily highs to be in the 20s and 30s across the northern half of the Midwest. Highs in the south will likely be 30s and 40s. We may see a couple of areas reaching up into the lower 50s early next week, but until we get into the end of next week, I don't think we'll see too much of that. Temperatures will be turning warmer at that point. Low temperatures at night are likely to be in the teens and 20s in a big part of the Midwest through much of the coming week. Some 30s will occur in the south early to midweek next week, and we will see some single-digit readings in the far north as we go through both tonight and again a point during the Tuesday-Wednesday period next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's look at the overnight electronic trade in Kansas City. March wheat at 743, down 4. May at 745 and 3 quarters, down 7. March wheat in Chicago, 701 and a half, down 6 and a quarter. May at 708 and 3 quarters, down 5 and 3 quarters. March corn, 717, down now a quarter. 717 and a quarter, down 2 and a quarter. May, $7 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. December at 552 and 3 quarters, down 4 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1457 and a half, down 16 and 3 quarters. May, 1435 and a half, down 16 and 3 quarters. November, 1252, down 7 and a half. March soybean meal, 430, down 480. May, 430.70, down 490. March soybean oil, 48.46, down 36. And May at 48.74 is down 38. April live cattle, 130.57 and a half, up 72 and a half. March feeder cattle, 143.15, up 115. And April lean hogs, 81.72 and a half, now 70 even, now 67 and a half, up 67 and one half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Seems to me you probably don't have to go very much further than the U.S. dollar index to explain what's going on in the market this morning.
Well, yes, that's a big part of it. Also, the sequester is obviously weighing on people. You know, we've got the administration and the news media out there fanning the fire saying how bad it's going to be and all of that. Honestly, it's going to be about $85 billion in exposure. Half that's out of the military. So I think that's probably the biggest item out there. Then the U.S. dollar, yes, it's the highest value since August. What's happening is foreign countries are stepping in and buying U.S. treasuries. And in order to buy U.S. treasuries, you have to do that in U.S. dollars. So they're converting foreign currency to U.S. dollars, thereby supporting the U.S. dollar and making foreign currencies weaker. I guess another thing this morning, China stepped in and bought a few beans this morning, 120,000 metric tons for new crop, and they've been doing that all along, and that's in respect to South America's problem with their infrastructure. I know China's trying to pour some money into that country down there to try and improve their export capability, so we'll see how that all works out. It'll take a while. Also, China had some reports out this morning. They have a little bit of disappointing economic data, and that's weighing a little bit. So I would have to say that that's a good portion of what's going on with the market today is basically the economy.
Would this week's trade action in your mindset be conducive that we're trying to put in short-term bottoms in the market in corn and beans?
One would hope so. The thing about it is there so much news out here that's weighing on this thing. We've had poor export performance on corn this year, below a billion bushel for the first time that I've seen since about 1980. And, you know, as long as we don't have an export program on corn, that's a problem. Beans, however, are just the opposite. We've got good protein type of demand, and beans are going to be exported, and I think beans will probably prop the corn up, although wheat's going to weigh on corn also.
It does appear that it is the cash that's leading the futures higher.
Right.
And how much longer does that continue, do you think?
Well, I don't know. Our weather's improving. That's not going to bode very well for any of the crops at this point. A lot of it's going to have to be demand. I think lower prices will help demand, increase demand, I guess. You know, what I'm saying is if we have no demand now, then obviously the price of the grains are going to have to come down, which should help increase demand down the road. And how long is that going to take? I don't know. Once you destroy demand, it always takes a year or better to get it straightened up. So that's a good question. Also, gold is taking it on the chin. Although we did have a little spike today, crude's down about $8 from February the 20th. I guess just a little bit of trivia here, 24 out of the last 26 years, we repeated the January high on corn, which is 605. I'm not saying it's going to do that, but we may have one more chance at it, and if we do, we probably ought to be taking advantage of it.
Thank you, Tom.
You bet.
That's Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. He's in Champaign, Illinois. December corn, 552 and a quarter, down 4 3/4, and November soybeans are 1252 and a half, down 7. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.